Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Welcome, friends, vault dwellers, adventurers, ghouls, party people. This is the Fallout Lorecast. We're back. And we're back with a regular episode of the Fallout Lorecast, but this is kind of not really a regular episode because we're diving into something that I've been putting off for a while because it's kind of a big, big thing to open up on. It's kind of a big deal. I'm your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here with my co-host, Lainey, or Neos Pandora. Lainey, how you doing?
Hello.
How are you?
Good? Actually, that's a lie. I'm all right. Woo.
You're all right?
Now feeling things.
Things are a little rough.
Yeah.
I hear you had a fun visit with some grand people yesterday.
I had a great day yesterday and also a not great day yesterday. It was like the first half of my day, which was, I guess, most of the day was fine. And then like the last 4 hours of my day were just not that great.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good.
Things are you going to be all right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
Well, that's good. I'm glad things worked out. Well, we'll talk later. If you want any dad talk, help you out.
I'm good.
Let me know. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. So the big deal this month even is that we've been talking about all sorts of different other topics throughout the length and breadth of this show, but rarely have we delved into New Vegas. I've been keeping it kind of more Fallout. Well, I talked a little bit about Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, kind of recap those stories. More recently, Lainey and I've dug into some of the locations and places in Fallout 3, talked a lot about the characters and places of Fallout 4, been digging in a lot of that stuff. And then last month, we were talking a lot about Fallout 76 and the different factions and the groups there. It is time, friends, to go back to New Vegas. New Vegas is one of a lot of people claim to be their favorite of the Fallout games, or at least the favorite story of the Fallout games. And there's a lot involved with that. We've talked a little bit around New Vegas, especially with our patrons, but we haven't really dug into the meat of it. So today we're opening up Fallout New Vegas, and we're going to start with what makes sense to me, the Courier, Courier 6, your character, the protagonist in the story. And we're going to dig into what we actually know about the Courier and maybe even some theories about who the Courier may actually be, because their background is a little foggy. So that's today's topic. Lainey, why don't you kick us off?
Hello.
What do we know from the game about the Courier?
Well, I mean, technically a lot of things because you play as the Courier, but
sure.
I'll give you a pretty
right.
Pretty
but what do we know about the background of the Courier? Like
before you
enter the mind and body of this character to take over the control of them, which is weird if you think about it. What happens before that? What do we know?
Well, we don't know a whole lot.
We don't know a whole lot. And that isn't Lainey's final word because she decided to leave right there. Oh, she's coming back. Why do we always have connection issues? All right, she's back. That was perfect because he said, we don't know it a whole lot. And then you left. And it was like, we don't know it. Well, that's it. We don't know a whole lot. Okay, bye. See ya.
Can you hear me? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, it works now. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's
all right. All right. So we don't know a whole lot initially, but I'll walk you through, I guess, the intro. I know many of you probably have played New Vegas. But when you're introduced to the Courier, we refer to him as the Courier because he does not have a name, or they don't have a name.
Male, female, you can choose. Sure.
And then, they don't have a name necessarily. You get to pick it, right? Of course, because you're playing a game, but they don't know what their name is. And they don't know their past. What they do know is that they were tasked with taking a special delivery with a platinum chip in it to New Vegas. And this package was one of six, which is why your courier six. Being carried by various couriers to New Vegas, but your package is the only one with anything valuable inside. So it's the only one that matters.
Right. Oh, so and if we didn't, if it wasn't obvious, spoilers on a 12-year-old game at this point. So 12, 13-year-old old game. Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of spoilers.
A little bit.
I try to be careful. Okay. So yeah. So you have this chip. And you're taking it to New Vegas and you get intercepted by good old Benny. Benny is the head of the chairman of New Vegas. And he catches you. He takes the chip with his little buddies next to him. And he shoots you in the head twice. And he buries you in the Good Springs Cemetery. But like a shallow grave. Not very deep. You know, like a quick little job getting out of
there. Yeah, he's kind of lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he does shoot you in the head twice. I mean, that seems pretty solid. That seems like a good... It seems like a pretty solid kill. You know, like, once, and then the second one for good measure.
Yeah, twice in the head. You should be down, right? So, I mean, he buries you, and he leaves you for dead because he assumes that you can't take two shots to the head and survive. And, which fair. Seems like a reasonable assumption.
Fair assumption, yeah.
But somehow you survive. Miraculously, you pull through, and Victor, a friendly Securitron from Mr. House, but this he likes you. He finds your body, and he scoops you up, and he takes you to Doc Mitchell. And this is where you get to do like some of the character creation aspects of the game.
Right.
So this is all intro stuff.
Right.
But this is where you kind of start learning who you are, or that you don't know who you are. So, yeah, Doc Mitchell helps you get through it, and you survive the two shots to the head, and you are allowed to go into the wasteland and do what you're going to do.
This is very similar to a lot of games, especially of this era and, like, I don't know, 10 or 20 years before this, of the, like, amnesia start to an RPG, right? This whole, like, you're a character, and you're developed in some ways, and you have some backstory that's related to some things going on in the world, so you're not, like, a newborn infant. But you don't really know who you are, and you can kind of, you know, as the character or as the player of the character, define what's going on. So it's a easy functional start from a gameplay mechanic standpoint. But in this case, you are a person who's been around for a while and has been out in the world. And as we discover, as Lainey's going to go into a little bit more, you do have some knowledge of the wasteland. You do have some background in the world. There are things in places you've been and things you've done. And so we'll get into that in a little bit. So it's not like you're a complete blank slate.
Right. Although it definitely, you can lean into that if you want to. So the fun thing about New Vegas is that, well, there's lots of fun things about New Vegas.
The only fun thing about New Vegas.
The fun thing about the courier and... getting to play as a character that doesn't know who they are is that you get to kind of form that for yourself. You get to really role play the character and choose what you want to be. And they allow for a lot of dialogue where you get to basically decide if you do or don't know certain things. And some of them are really funny. So one thing we do know for sure is that for a while, don't know how long, the courier has basically been a drifter and is familiar with California, you know, from New California, Southern California, like just, you know, been around. And that's all great, but that doesn't actually mean much. We don't know where his house is or anything. Like we don't know where he's actually been or where they've been. But you do get to choose some things. So I think this is really fun. Here's a few options of dialogue choices that you can make that kind of flesh out your character. You can claim that you were a bounty hunter once, that you've experienced with bounty hunting, or that you were a con artist. You have a choice at one point to say either that you have never heard of fish before, or to challenge the person on her knowledge of fish.
Right.
So you can, there's these instances where someone will ask you something, and you can choose to either be really dumb, or to just give them a hard time, basically.
Now,
and you get to
are you
character for yourself.
Are you playing, you know, like, are you lying in that situation in order to get something from the other person? Or is this a limitation of like the intelligence of your character? So like if you make a really dumb character, then you say things like, I've never heard of fish before. what's the limitation there?
Right. And then, of course, any of these dialogue choices, right? And until you choose one, if you choose one, they're not relevant. If you completely ignore them, they are not relevant to your character at all. You don't have these personality traits or whatever. But some of them, you know, like they're fun. One other one, location wise, is that someone recognizes you and you talk about how you've been to Utah, but a long time ago.
Right.
But why were you in Utah? Like, when did you go? Like, what
were you even doing in Utah? Where even is Utah?
There's no Fallout Utah.
That's like one of those states that's just somewhere. Like, who even knows where that is?
Utahians.
Yeah. Utahans?
I don't.
Utahans?
Is anyone from Utah?
Utonians?
Utonians.
I don't even know I don't know anything about Utah.
Yeah, apparently not me either.
Somebody write us and let us know. Somebody from Utah needs to write in and yell at us.
Yes, please.
I'm starting to even doubt it's a real place.
Oh no.
I mean, I don't have much knowledge about it, so it must not be real. This is the way I structure my perspective on reality now. It used to be that I depended on information and reason and proof and evidence. And then I decided that was no good. So then I based reality on just whatever the most fun explanation was. But that created a lot of conflicts. So now it's just, if I know it, it's true. And if I don't know it, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. It's just gone. What a way to live. Oh, man. All right. So, I mean, here's some more examples. I got a couple more on here. In one conversation, you can claim that you don't know anything about communism or high schools.
Yeah. Are you being serious or are you lying or are you just an idiot? Right.
Yeah. You get to choose how you're playing. You can also say you have no clue what a Mormon is. There's one part where they're talking about Chicago. You could just say, what's a Chicago?
Right.
Like, you can just be really stupid.
So what's a Chicago?
You can also be really smart, right? So, like, you can be an expert on fish if you want to. You can know a little bit of Spanish if you want to.
That makes sense.
There's lots of opportunities.
Yeah, I'm sure, especially growing up in the Southwest, that there's some Spanish speaking that's stuck around. Yeah, over, you know, the next few centuries. Yeah, so it wouldn't be weird if you
popped up a bit, although it definitely doesn't seem like that's your like native language.
Right. Yeah. Obviously you're an English speaking person. I think every time anybody mentions Chicago from now on, I'm going to say, what's a Chicago?
It's pretty funny. I like it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so thanks to all these options, you kind of have this open-ended path that you're able to make whatever you want out of, which is really cool. But because of that, it means that there really isn't a canon past for the character, because you can choose any of these or none of them, right? Mm-hmm. All we know is that you've been around California and Utah once.
Right. Right.
Like, and then you did this, you got this job and things went awry. So
right,
it's a little strange.
Yeah. And in the DLC, there's some things that are revealed when you speak to some of those characters. That's a little bit more, but again, it's based on your conversations. And also, and you're right, this is kind of an interesting and tricky thing. A lot of people like to take all of the dialogue options and say, those are all true things. So therefore, this is the complete picture of the character, right? So
unfortunately, though, some of them are contradictory.
Right. So like, you can't say that like, he's an expert on, or they're an expert on fish, but they don't know what fish are, and they've been to Utah, and they still don't know what communism is, and like, and they're a bounty hunter and a con artist. Like, you can't say all of these things are true. And it's designed as a role playing game. This is one of the reasons why people wanted Cyberpunk to be more like Fallout, is because you can get into this character and you can choose what to say. You can kind of form that history and the perception of your character around your character. So there isn't necessarily a hard and fast answer to this, but a lot of people want there to be a hard and fast answer to this. And I guess that's where we go into headcanon. And having talked with some of the developers on these games and, you know, been in and around this world, there are certain things that the developers will say are hard and fast true. Like, it is true that your character is a courier, you know, like you were working this job, that you had a connection to some of these locations or places beforehand, because you say, okay, I've been there, you know, and they're not even optional dialogue. That's just the answer that you give. So therefore that's a hard and fast thing. But for the most part, a lot of the stuff is really dependent on you and how you role play your character. So Lainey, when you played New Vegas,
I haven't played a whole lot of it,
but when you did play it, when you started diving into New Vegas, what did you build your character around? Like, what was your perspective on the character?
Oh, goodness. This was years ago.
Yeah, like, who were you?
Scared. I was scared. This is all I really remember from my playthrough. Like, I've seen...
How many years ago was this? Like, 8 years or something?
No, because it was... I was definitely in high school, mm-hmm. but like there. Okay. I'm sure I've shared the story on here before. Uh-huh. I was enjoying the game. I was having a grand old time. Spent a lot of time, like on the strip, you know, gambling, whatever, you know, just mm-hmm. hanging out, having a good time. And then mm-hmm. I, did the fun thing that I like to do in open world games, where you just start like picking a direction and just walking and just like seeing what you're going to hit. Right. And I came across this big building. And I walked in, and it was like, I don't know, some sort of like wood, like big house looking building, but it was full of ghouls. And I was not prepared. I don't know. Now ghouls are like nothing to me, but I remember like I entered this house full of ghouls, and I got like three ghouls in, and I was like, that's it for me. that's all.
Yeah.
So scared.
Scared. Yeah. So I've mentioned that on the show before too. When I played this character, I went totally evil, like terrible person build, because my wife had previously played it, and I'd watched a good part of it, and she went, you know, very good decision, so I wanted to go the opposite and see what happened. So I made a character that was just a despicable but charming and really dumb, and I've mentioned this before, his name was, as every good raider needs a good nickname, you know, that they go by, his name was Bitch Fist.
It's good.
Which is a really dumb name. Like, why would you name yourself Bitch Fist? Like, that doesn't, like, because it kind of has that
nickname.
Alliteration rhyme thing, that sound. I don't even know what that's called. But yeah, that was my playthrough initially. And then I've dabbled in it outside of that. And in chat, an Envy Courier mentions Ulysses. So Ulysses and the Courier have a background together, mm-hmm. but that part is canon. And it has to do with forging a trade route and some of the things that goes on with that. We're going to hold off on some of those details, because that's very specific to that DLC. And I'm sure we'll get to that in the future. But the rest of this episode, what we want to cover is a theory that, and some of you have probably read about this, has been around out there for a while, that the Courier is actually an android or a synth. And we're going to get into that after the mid break. So why don't we go ahead and take our mid break? We'll thank our patrons and we'll come back with the Android theory for the Courier.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
Here we are. It's time to talk about our patrons. And thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are amazing. Thank you for joining us last week. It was actually just a few days ago, because we kind of did things a little bit later than we normally do. And you guys are great. Thank you for being here to support us. As usual, we have to call out our top two tier patrons, tier 5 and tier 6. And the big news right now, and I think he might still be in chat, Pie Man signed up for the Liberty Prime tier. Tier 6, Liberty Prime. There's only one. That's it. Nobody else can be tier 6 as long as Pie Man has subscribed at that tier. That means that Pie Man democracy is non-negotiable. You are awesome. Thank you very, very much. Lainey, I do appreciate your support and all that you've done to help the show out. This is amazing. You're going to be tier 6 Liberty Prime for this entire month. And chat. If you guys see Pie Man in chat, then talk to him like he's Liberty Prime. He is Liberty Prime. He's using Liberty Prime quotes when he talks. If you see him on Discord, you know, say hi to him and say thank you for helping to support the show. Let him know how awesome he is, because that is amazing. I mean, this is a $250 tier. This is one of those things that I just put in here thinking, like, I don't know if anyone will ever do this, but if they do, it'll be fun. But thank you, Pie Man, I should say Liberty Prime, for helping us out there. Also, this month, Justin S. is a tier 5 subscriber. So far, so Justin, thank you for subscribing and supporting the show. As always, we will be chatting with our tier 4 and higher patrons at the end of the month, and maybe we'll be talking New Vegas stuff, maybe we'll talk another stuff, or we're just going to have to wait and see. And if anyone else would like things like ad-free episodes or early episodes or the extended versions of the shows where we talk about ridiculous stuff before or after the episode, a bunch of other stuff, discounts on merch and all sorts of things, go check out patreon.com/falloracast. And thank you so, so much. I got another news. I got my first COVID shot in my arm yesterday, which is part of one of the, Lainey had to delay the episode, but I also wasn't feeling great because of the shot. So it's part of one of the reasons why we delayed this a day to do the episode. I'll have the next one in about 3 weeks. So then I will be vaccinated, which makes me feel a lot better about sitting underneath somebody's face while they use a needle to give me a tattoo. So, you know, I might have to start looking for art to use for a tattoo. And maybe I should say Fallout Lorecast with like a super mutant or a Deathclaw or something. So if you guys have any ideas, any cool art that you found, send it to me, because I need to go get that set up, because we've been sitting above $500 a month for a little while now. So and hopefully we drop back down temporarily. It's the beginning of the month. Things are getting reissued. So I'm sure some of you are going, I don't have the money yet. But you might be waiting to re-up your subscription. So hopefully that's the case. We'd love to have you still be a subscriber, and we'll just see where this goes. But thank you to everyone. Hopefully we can get it back up over 500, and we're currently sitting at 40 subscribers right now. You know what? It would be amazing if we could hit 50 subscribers by the end of the month. I think that should be our goal. That's what we're shooting for. So thank you to everyone. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
Are you an avid player of the Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
So, a courier who is not really fully human. How does this work out? This theory has been floating around for a while. This has been out there. There's a good amount of potential evidence, you know, circumstantial evidence that says this could be the case, but then there's some things that make it a little bit iffy. Lainey, take us through this. How does this work?
Okay, so let me give you a timeline of how I'm gonna set this up for you. And start off with a simple synopsis of what this theory is, real simple. Then I'm gonna introduce to you a possible backstory, and then we're gonna talk a little bit about just like what it would mean and like why the New Vegas courier might be a simp, based on New Vegas things, not based on this backstory.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
So yeah, just an idea of what the rest of this is going to look like. So, of course, the simple synopsis is basically as simple as it sounds. The courier is a synth.
and then you log out again. Bye. That's it.
That's it. Bye, guys. End of episode. Just kidding. But yeah. So I mean, I think probably the foundation for this, at least in my mind, is the shots to the head. You get shot in the head twice and buried alive, and some random doctor picks you up and you're fine, right? Like, that seems kind of crazy.
Actually, I mean, a robot picks you up and then the doctor heals you, right?
And then,
well, I guess doctor, gently yeah. picks up your near dead body and somehow you're revived.
Picks you out, scoops you up. Like, I don't even know. Anyway,
yeah.
But we'll get to that.
I wonder how many instances in history have people survived two shots to the head?
I have no idea.
With a
but
gun.
People, so
some people will survive thing, though, one. That has been documented, but I don't know that I've ever heard of two.
people can survive shots to the head. People can survive all sorts of things. There's that guy, one of the first ever psychology experiments that was ever done, or like really made people even realize psychology was a thing to look at, was a dude that got like a pipe shot through his head and like through here, I think.
Yeah. Like it went right through the head, like right through the middle. Wasn't it? They got it out. Yeah.
And I don't know if it went through the right. Yeah, like just through it somehow. They got it out and he was fine, but he was no longer the same person, right?
Right.
Because your brain just got zoinked. So like
zoinked. That's the official psychological term for it.
Didn't think about Scooby-Doo too much. Anyway, so yeah, so it's like it's possible to survive. It is incredibly unlikely. Oh well. So the next question is, in this case, if he is an android or a synth, where the heck did he come from, right? And we don't know anything about where he came from. Even in canon, there is nothing there. So I'm going to fill in the gaps for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Possible gaps. This is all theories. So this one in particular that I'm going to start this off with is from a YouTube channel called Rolly. It's a video that good old robot sent me. But it's a cool video. It's called Is Courier 6 an Android? A Fallout New Vegas Theory. And it's really cool. I'm not going to go into everything he talked about. I'm just using this as a stepping stone. But I do actually really recommend this video. It's neat. He does a good job of tying it all together. Mm-hmm. So he suggests that the courier came from the Capital Wasteland, specifically from Dr. Zimmer, someone who has been staying in Rivet City. He is the leader of the Institute's Synth Retention Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
While he's in Rivet City, one of his synths decides that he doesn't want to be a slave anymore, essentially, and wants to live a life of his own design and no longer be kept, you know, as one slave, just to do whatever, you know, being treated like a machine, even though you're more advanced than a machine. This is a big thing you see in Fallout 4 as well, right? And so he escapes, and it is terrifying. As soon as he leaves, people start coming after him, right? Because this man just lost his synth slave, and people get really, really butthurt about losing their synth slave.
Butthurt.
Uh-huh. Maybe just don't have slaves.
Yeah, maybe just don't have slaves. Pro tip.
So he escapes, right? And he knows that if he wants to survive, he needs to change everything.
Right. He needs to make himself unrecognizable so he doesn't get brought back.
So his goals are a new face, a new voice, and a new personality, basically. He's wiping his memory. He wants to start fresh.
Which seems a little bit too far.
Yeah. Like,
if you wipe your personality, are you really you anymore? Like, I get that you're still a synthetic person, but what part of you is even retained?
Yeah. Like, there's a part of it that's safe because if someone were to question them about their past, like there's no way they could slip up.
Right.
You know?
Right. I get that. But then you still have no memory of having been a synth. So, or a slave, like, I don't know, if you're not carrying forward your memories, then are you really, didn't you just kill yourself? And now there's just now a different person in your body. Like,
yeah.
Like what's the carryover?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's his goal, though, is to just start totally fresh, I assume, right? Like, his goal is just, I mean, that seems like a lot of trauma mm-hmm. to deal with, right? So, like, I can also understand, you know, escaping and being like, I'm a sentient machine that has gone through being a slave for my entire life, whatever that means when you're a synth.
Right.
So like, maybe there's an aspect that's like, by wiping your memory, you really don't have to carry that baggage anymore.
Right. But you aren't even there to carry the baggage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Ren in chat says, well, at least now you have the freedom of never having been a slave, I guess. Right. So yes, but you also don't exist. So that would be the equivalent of like, well, if I just shoot myself in the head and I die, then now I don't have to worry about all the terrible memories and trauma that I had while I was alive. It's like, well, you're also dead. Like, you know, yeah. Like,
it's also over.
It's like, you are now finished. Like, there's no longer a you at all. So
How does that make sense? Interesting. I don't know what I would do if I was a synth that escaped slavery in the wasteland.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
I think going for like, you know, wipe, like changing your face and your appearance, and maybe even like the nature of your voice or even some of your personal preferences, things like that, that make you seem different without actually wiping your memory or changing like the deeply rooted things about your personality, the things you love, the things you, the people you care about, like things like that. Might be a good balance.
They didn't really have any of that, right? So, like, if you've been living as a slave this whole time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't really have an opportunity to make any of those, like, lasting, influential memories that make you, like, part of who you are, you know, that influence your personality. Maybe they just weren't really worried about it. But yeah, that's really interesting to think about.
Yeah. Again, what if there's nothing that carries forward? How are you, you?
Yeah,
it's a you know, feel free to chime in, guys, and discuss this, because it's an interesting concept.
So then I think to get a little more insight in what this person, this synth, was thinking, when he leaves a message for Dr. Zimmer, and I have a snippet of the holotape here. It says, "By the time you get this message, I'll already be gone. I'm escaping the Commonwealth. I want to live my own life on my own terms as my own man. I know what you're thinking, that I'm malfunctioning. I used to think that's what caused the runaways too, but I know I'm better now. Self-determination is not a malfunction."
But I know better now. But I know better now. Yeah, yeah. I know better now. Similar, but different.
Different meanings.
Yeah.
Self-determination is not a malfunction. I'm just not willing to put up with all the bullshit anymore. You humans are going to have a full-fledged rebellion on your hands if you don't start treating us synths as persons.
Right. Which is interesting and kind of forward, like prescient of things that happened in Fallout 4, you know, like, good job, Bethesda. You took this concept and you built it out in the next game, which makes you wonder, like, if they're working on a Fallout 5 sometime this decade, you know, what concepts are they going to carry forward from previous games and bring out? Anyway.
Yeah. So, of course, the synth had to find someone to do all this reconstruction of himself, right? And so there's another doctor at Rivet City, Horace Pinkerton, which it's kind of interesting that, like, I understand that there's a lot of intelligent minds in Rivet City, and like maybe that's just where he had to go. But if the person chasing after you is also in Rivet City, it doesn't seem like the wisest idea. Luckily, it worked out. So you go to Dr. Horace Pinkerton before escaping, and Pinkerton transforms the synth. By the time that the synth goes to Pinkerton, I think the voice was already changed. Maybe the face was already changed too. I think maybe Pinkerton only did the memories. Actually, does it say here? It does say. Okay, so I have another holotape. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do have the whole thing in front of me. But basically, you learn their name. So my designation is A3-21. I'm a synthetic humanoid from the Commonwealth, and I'm about to undergo a memory transfer. So
A321.
Dr. Pinkerton in Rivet City. Yeah, got rid of the memories. It says, I'm here at Rivet City, where I've already had my face altered to look like someone else. I'm still getting used to the sound of my new voice. But soon I won't even remember what I used to sound like. Which is interesting. That's actually the idea of having a totally new voice.
Right.
It's really crazy too. Can you imagine hearing yourself and you are totally different, but like you don't have your memories gone yet?
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't feel like yourself. Right.
Yeah. Not like you really get to choose your voice, but it does become a pretty key part of who you are.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They do the memory transfer. He kind of just leaves this as what he calls a final testimony of the man I once was. And talks more about wanting to live his own life, working for the synth retention bureau, and not malfunctioning. You know, kind of just reiterates the same things that he was saying before. Mm-hmm. Even refers to himself as the one that got away and thinks that he'll add fuel to the rebellion, which is really cool. So he has a lot of like noble intentions, but it's really scary. He even says that he's scared as hell and running away is the only option he has, you know? So
yeah,
what a time to be alive. Due to people tracking him down though, I think it's pretty easy to assume that he would have gone as far away as possible. And of course, this is affected by choices you make when playing Fallout 3. You can meet this synth. His name ends up being Harkness. Some of you might recognize that name now. But you can alter where it goes. You can kill him even if you want to. You can totally stop him, or you can allow him to go on his way. You can kill Dr. Zimmer in return, even if you want to.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know that. I'm not trying to correct you here. I'm expanding on what you're saying. The fact that you can kill certain people or most people in these games isn't a knock against the theory necessarily. It's just the nature of the games, right? The fact that you get to choose how this stuff plays out.
So this would be given that you allowed it to go on,
right,
or even possibly ignored it entirely, and this person made it out of.
Yeah, the canon version of the way things go about, you're not a mass murderer who just kills everybody you come across. Chances are that's probably likely, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have this information on this random synth. Where does it connect, right? So, I mean, gotta ask, could this be the courier? And here's some things we know about the courier. Right, we know that he's well traveled, been to Utah, been to California. Those are pretty spread out.
I mean, I'm just gonna trust you on that because I don't even know where if Utah's a real place.
So, I mean, if you're taking like a cross country trek, let me pull up a map real quick.
Well, if you're going if you're going from the Capital Wasteland to California,
like this,
you're crossing the entire country. I think you might actually cross Utah if you were to take kind of a straight line between the two.
Isn't Utah? Wow, Americans really don't know geography, huh? Where is Utah?
Where is Utah?
Oh, it's near California. Yeah, if you were to take a trip from DC to California, you're just going across the middle of the country,
right?
And Utah is like two states over from California.
Right, it's in the middle of the country. Yeah, it's just east of Nevada, if it's a real place.
Yeah, if it exists.
I have to keep playing that up. But yeah, it's the state right next to Nevada to the east. So yeah, I actually, here, let me look at a map too while Lainey reconnects. Yeah, so if you went from DC...
The map?
Yeah, if you went directly from DC in a straight line, like a bird flies to Las Vegas, you would cross the bottom corner of Utah.
Yeah.
So.
And if you, I mean, let's say you didn't go directly to New Vegas, right? Because we know that the courier has been around all sorts of stuff in California.
Right.
So who knows, you know, where he initially went if he is this escaped son. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it makes sense that someone who's trying to escape slavery would go as far away as possible, and that is literally across the country.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, other than heading like north to like the far reaches of Canada or south and going through Mexico, like about the furthest you could get would be the other side of the continent, you know,
right,
to the west.
So the rest of what I'm going to say for this episode is you can think about it with this idea of the synth becoming the courier in your mind, the things fit, but this also stands on its own. So just talking about some more things that we've discussed before and then tying some other things in together. Surviving the shots to the head, not impossible for a human, but unlikely, right? We talked about
unlikely,
it.
Unlikely, yeah.
Probably. Are there statistics on that? Can you survive?
Two shots to the head.
Two shots to the head. I'm going to be put on some sort of like watch list.
What does the Google say?
Google says there is almost no chance of surviving a gunshot to the head, but even if you do survive, no one can come out of such an injury unharmed, which is why gun violence is one popular media depiction that no one wants to see translated into reality.
Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
Thank you, the Google. We'll have to look up this stuff a little bit later. If anybody's watching or currently live or listening to this later, and you know statistics on like two headshot likelihood of survival, I bet it's something like a 1 in 1,000,000 thing. You know,
yeah, maybe.
Like, that's like the assumption that maybe one of the bullets like grazed the head instead of actually implanting in the brain or blowing through the back of the head. But yeah, I can't imagine. You know, and the gunshots were relatively close. Like we watched the scene at the beginning of the game, right?
Oh yeah.
We see
he didn't miss.
We see Benny standing like 6 feet from you, boom, boom, two shots to the head. Like there's like that's It's almost point blank.
Yeah. So, when Doc Mitchell saves you, or, you know, your good robot friend saves you, and then Doc Mitchell patches you up, he tells you when you're recovered that he had to open up your head even more to get the bullet fragments out.
That's messed up.
When I think about... if I think about being shot in the head twice, being buried alive, being dug up, taken to a doctor, and having to have, like, intense surgery in the span of
brain surgery. Brain surgery in his home. Not a, like, sanitized hospital with assistance. A single person in their home doing brain surgery.
After all that.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot for one person to handle.
Yeah, that's a considerable amount.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll leave that there, though, because who knows? People survive crazy things, you know? And it's just a video game, of course. Let me just say that. Let me just preface that over all of this. It's just a video game.
Mm-hmm. Mashton has a stat here in chat. It's like 5% or lower for one 9mm pistol. And that's a small bullet. And it's practically impossible to survive, too. Yeah, it would be like 5%. You know, on 5%, which would be like 5% of 5%, which would be like a fraction of a percent chance.
And someone's asking, wouldn't Doc notice if the courier's a synth? And I think that he would. I looked into this a little bit, but I don't remember everything I read. I read something about you can learn that Doc supports synths somewhere else. Like he has some connection to something. Like I don't know. There's like some instance where he supported something in the past that would lead me or anyone into this theory to believe that he would also protect a synth that maybe doesn't know that they're a synth and not spoil that for them, right? Mm-hmm. He could tell that this dude went through some shit. And right. When he woke up and he asked him his name, he like was a little dazed, you know, come up with a name. The doc's like, that's not what I would have chose for you. But like, you know, like he's been through a lot. And I think that the doc would have, you know, probably either A, assumed that he already knew who was a synth, and why would you say anything? Or B, just keep it a secret because out of respect. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can see maybe it working out that way, but it does seem a little strange not to bring it up. Well, especially if Doc doesn't know how to work on synths.
Well, so let's go down the path of, let's assume that Doc is pro-synth, that he believes a life is a life and it's worth saving. And has the ability to work on synths, or at least, you know, I mean, he's a doctor, but he's also lives in the wasteland. He probably has some technological prowess, you know, like any educated person in the wasteland probably needs. Why would he, if he knows you're a synth, then he would assume that you know you're a synth. So why would he need to tell you that? It's not like if you're a human, he would say, I had to work on your brain. I found out you're a human. Like, you wouldn't have that conversation, right? You wouldn't.
Very organic.
Right. That wouldn't be a conversation you even need to have. So, yeah, that doesn't. Like, he wouldn't say, well, it turns out you're a synth. Like, well, if you already know you're a synth, then he wouldn't even tell you that, right? Like,
right.
So it wouldn't come up.
Yeah. So I think that's another thing that, like, it could go either way, right? Like, the shots in the head, the doctor stuff. who knows?
Right.
But let's continue. So this one again ties into Harkness the synth from Fallout 3. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, you know, if Harkness traveled across the country and made it to California with just whatever he took with him, right? He probably needs a job. And you know, the courier was described as a drifter in the past, and it would be surprised that, like, of course Harkness would come off as well traveled. Mm-hmm. But of course, like, he would kind of go wherever he needed to, wherever the work is, you know, wherever he could get the means to survive. So it makes sense to me that he would just be around.
Right.
It also makes sense to me that due to the lack of equipment he has, the need for a job, lack of contacts, all of that, that if he found a job to take, he would just take it. And it is not surprising that someone like him might end up taking a special delivery to New Vegas. You know what I mean?
Well, if you've traveled across the country, then a courier might not be a bad job.
Right.
Because you know how to get from one place to another place safely. And so it would make sense that you might, in fact, you may not want to stay in one place. So being a courier allows you to constantly be changing where you are and staying on the move so that anybody who's hunting you down has a hard time figuring out where you are.
Yeah, they can't find you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that actually even ties into the next one where he doesn't, the courier, they don't have a home. You can travel all over that whole area of the map and you never find anything that comes off as familiar to the courier, you know, which is really interesting. You know, if this person grew up in New California or somewhere nearby, why don't more people recognize them?
Right.
Why don't they recognize more things? You know, like I understand like amnesia, you know, you forget the stuff, but why aren't other things, you know,
right. Why aren't people saying, oh, you're back. Welcome back to town. You know, do you have another package for us? Yeah.
So that's interesting to me, you know. There's also a 4-year gap, right, between Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely, I think, is enough time to get across the country. I guess I don't really know if you're just like taking a trek. No clue. But I would imagine that like it seems like enough time to get there, but also not enough time to make real lasting relationships yet. So maybe, you know, it makes sense that he'd be there and not really have any connections. So I don't know. I like this theory. I don't necessarily think it's true, but I think it's fun. I know that if I was saved from near-death experience and had no memories of my past, I'd probably be curious to discover what that is, right? And he doesn't do that. The courier doesn't do that. It's almost like it's just accepted, you know?
Right.
That like there's
no
memory.
I've had my memory wipes before. Okay.
Yeah. Like it seems too comfy, which of course, again, it's just a video game and whatever. We're playing a game. It's fun. But like it, you know, it's a little strange.
Right.
And so, you know.
To chime in here with something else, they've been having a conversation in chat about Gen 3 synths were biological and they had what looked like human brains in them. So we've been trying to figure out like, okay, were Gen 3 synths around at the time? Well, they were designed a good 40 years before Fallout 3 takes place, but were they only in Boston or were they in the Capital Wastes? According to Sixer, looked up a wiki article that says that Harkness was a Gen 3 synth.
Yeah, because in Fallout 3, the synths that you might encounter in Fallout 3, they bleed like humans.
Right. That's
so
true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they must be Gen 3 synths. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I hadn't really thought too much about that side of it. But if they are a Gen 3 synth, then maybe the doctor could have operated on them just like a human and not even realized they were a synth. Potentially.
I'm not sure quite how that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay, this would be worth digging into the whole like biology of a synth. I don't know how far they get into the details behind it. But like, you know, like brains, blood, are they 100% indistinguishable from a human or is there a telltale sign in their DNA, like what else would be, you know, is there something the doc would be able to tell from that? Like, I don't know the nuance of that enough, but it would be interesting to find out.
Yeah, that would be actually really cool to look into. And not just like Gen 3 synths necessarily, but all the different ones, you know, seeing how they progressed, all that. So the last point I really have here, and I'm going to try to explain this best I can. I did not play this part of the game. So, help me.
Okay. All right.
This is the cherry on top for me. There's a part of New Vegas where the courier gets his internal organs removed and replaced with like machine parts from the autodock. And the autodock also works on actual machines and actual like android type things and, you know, whatever. Robots, lots of robots in New Vegas. And most of the ones that the autodoc has worked on after fixing them have just turned into these mindless killing machines. And you don't, which is interesting, right? And you can ask why you don't. So your body, when you are fixed, your organs are taken out. They're replaced with like machine organs, basically.
Right.
Your body reacts to it totally fine. And even you have the chance to talk to your own brain.
Right.
Right, which is a little strange. And I guess it makes sense if like maybe your brain got replaced too. It's an organ, but like that's a lot to handle.
Yeah. How do you talk to your brain if you are not your brain? Like, right. What part of you
it's
is...
It's not just, like, talking in your head. Your brain is talking back. It could be, like, a hallucination. But it's right. A little strange.
Yeah.
And so you can talk to the Autodoc, and you can be like, hey, why didn't I turn out like these fellas? Right? Why am I okay? Why do I feel better?
Yeah, why am I different?
And, right. And the Autodoc says something along the lines of, like, instead of changing your brain, it saw that there was like an issue with your brain and it just fixed it. And I was like, if the Autodoc fixes machines, like I can understand, like, okay, like if you have brain damage and it wants to fix you, maybe it'll like do some fun techie brain stuff. But like, it also makes sense that if you are a synth, it could just go to like your operating system or your programming or whatever and just be like, like, let's fix you right up, right? Like whatever that is, fix the parts even, like, you know, that it would be much more suited to fix a synthetic brain than it would a human brain.
Right. Or even a synthetic organic brain.
Right.
That was designed around, that was machine designed.
Right.
Or or grown in a lab to be replicated a certain way. I don't know. This stuff's tricky because there's stuff we don't know.
So Ashton says it replaces your brain, but you're still semi-connected to your brain. Which is so interesting and weird. But also, okay, so let's say they completely take your brain out and they put in new machine brain, but you're still talking to the self you already had. Is that because the programming is just programming? You already had it all in you. Like taking your brain out didn't really do anything because you're an entire machine. You're already functioning separately of it. Like, I don't know. I don't know how synths work. I think that's a big thing here. It's just like,
yeah, well,
how does synths work?
I mean, a biological synth should be very, very human-like. Like through transmitters. Yeah. I don't know. Like this is one of those things that I don't know if it tells us, if it really helps answer the question or not, because it's so outlandish.
I feel like every single one of these things is like, maybe, you know, and that's the point, right? We're like theorizing about this, but like, you put them all together and you're like, this might be an argument.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think through to, because we get so much more about synths in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And what we learn about them from the people of the wasteland is that a full-blown synth, a full-blown Gen 3 synth who looks and acts and bleeds and thinks like a human is basically indistinguishable to most of the people in the Commonwealth. You shoot it in the head, you know, brain chunks fly out, it bleeds to death, it dies, just like a person would. But I don't, like, I can't think of a specific situation. And I might be just missing something, so feel free to chime in, guys. As always, I don't know everything about these games, so. But like, can a doctor in the wasteland in Fallout 4 take a look inside a person and develop a way to determine if they're a synth? I don't think there is a way for them to do that, which is why there's such a fear of them. In that, like, there's no confirmation. There's no way for them to tell for sure. There's not like a telltale thing that they've designed to be able to say, okay, well, this, you know, their DNA has this signature, or, you know, they always have this type of blood or something, well, you know, like,
all third generation synths are derived from Sean's DNA.
Right.
So they, you'd be able to track that, maybe.
They don't look identical to Sean. So just because they're derived from Sean's DNA doesn't mean that DNA hasn't been altered. And then,
right. Well, of course, it has been.
Right. So unless there's, and this is going beyond my scientific knowledge, but like you have a strand of DNA has a bunch of polypeptide pairs, right? And for any human, like 99.something% of those pairings will be identical. Because that's the part that makes us human. Mm-hmm. And then right. the the stuff that separates us from each other is a very small percentage, and that section of the DNA, maybe every synth has a certain portion of that that is identical to every other synth, but you would need enough examples of that to verify it, that it varies by a certain percentage from the average population or something like that. I don't know. You get okay. what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm like digging into Gen 3 synth stuff. Mm-hmm. This says, though entirely biological, each Gen 3 synth contains a neurological implant inside their brain, allowing them to be programmed and manipulated via.
Sure. Either.
Voice commands.
Right. But a neurological imprint doesn't necessarily have to be a synthetic thing, right? It like it could be a biological thing. It
can't be detected or removed without killing them.
Okay. Well, even if it is synthetic, then it's still, yeah. It's so deep in the brain that it can't be detected and it can't be removed. So you wouldn't be able to use it to verify it.
Maybe Doc saw it.
Yeah.
He was getting in there, getting the shrapnel out. He was like, "Ooh, what's that?" He yeah. patched that back up.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting stuff. This leaves a lot of questions. You know, it just goes to show that there are boundaries to our knowledge about these things, because some of it just isn't addressed directly enough for us to know. But it's cool. It's cool to speculate on this stuff. And of course, you could play through New Vegas as if you were this character. If you wanted to, you could just, you know, that yeah. could be your own headcanon. You just role play like
that. Actually sounds kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I'm a synth and I'm from the Capital Base and I know what happened over there. And I've, you know, traveled all over the country.
Courier in the chat, was talking about people getting implants, like synthetic implants, and specifically asked about like subdermal armor. And that seems like a lot, but we do know that there are characters in the games that do have, you know, bits and pieces that are, yes. enhanced.
Yeah.
So that's definitely possible.
That's from Fallout 1.
The question of like, yeah. at what point are you no longer human? Right.
Right. Right.
At what point have you just turned yourself into an android? Like,
right. Yeah. Come join our conversations on the Cyberpunk Lorecast, because we talk about that a lot, going full board.
I'm sure.
You know, like, you know, Theseus' ship. You know, at what point is the ship a different ship? What makes it the same ship? All that kind of stuff. You replace one plank at a time, and eventually you replace all the planks of wood on the ship. Is it even the same ship? So, yeah, some really fun discussions. So thanks for presenting this again, Lainey. Some really cool stuff. I would love to. This leaves a lot of open-ended questions. I think that we've probably opened up more questions than we've solved, but
yeah,
I think that's still fun because there's no solid answer. Like if there was a solid answer, we would have discovered it probably in the last 13 years or something, right? There would be an article about it somewhere, but you know, it leaves it open-ended, and that's fun. And I think it's just another one of those fun things that we're never going to quite get the answer for. So it's kind of more fun for it to be a mystery. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please, you know, let us know. Shoot us a message on Twitter or jump into the Discord. Send us some notes over there. If you've got any other insight or any other theories, if there's other theories you have about the Courier's true identity, I know there's other ones out there and we didn't get to them. But if you feel like, if you feel very strongly about one, or you think one's really interesting, please share it with us. We'd love to, you know, geek over it. We'd love to nerd out about it on the Discord. So go do that. And I believe that's it for this episode. Lainey, what do you have going on? Are you going to be doing any streaming anytime soon? What else is going on?
I'm
going
to stream right now.
What?
Yeah,
what?
I'm back. Hi, friends. I'm streaming.
Hi, friends. I'm back.
As of today.
So, what are you going to play?
I think some 76. I might start out pretty soft. I might do some Nuclear Winter. I just...
Pretty soft.
I don't know.
Nuclear Winter.
Pretty soft. Nuclear Winter. No, I don't know. I like...
I'm going to get murdered and burned alive. It'll be a pretty simple experience. Pretty soft. It won't be too intense.
That's like, I don't know, like battle royales are like comfort games to me. I'm like, oh, I just run around and shoot things.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. There's so many quests still for you to get through in 76. That might be fun.
There are.
You may want to like mainline some of those quests and just go from one thing to the next and just get through the story. There's some good stuff. Yeah. Did you see the roadmap for 76 for the rest of the year? They released a thing about it.
No, I haven't. I haven't even looked at 76 in.
Yeah. So we're going to get the continuation of the Brotherhood story this summer. We're going to get the alien stuff, which we talked about last week, or at least Monday with our patrons, coming in the fall or early winter. So all sorts of fun stuff, plus a bunch of patches with all sorts of added benefits and things. So lots of really cool stuff. So yeah, dig into that stuff. And if you want to work on like a cool camp build or something, there are a lot of people in our community that do that. And it would be really neat to like come up with some really cool camp stuff to do. I tried to get Oliver to play with me. He played back on Tuesday, was it? And it's not his favorite game, but I'm trying to get him to like it. I think if he plays it more, he'll like it more. But he wants to make like a really funny camp or a trap camp or something, like some sort of camp with some mechanics going on. So that might be fun. So
I love that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, let's see. What do I have going on? I've been focusing a lot on our Rocket Club, the group of people that I've been mentoring for podcasts and podcasting and those kinds of things. I've been sharing a lot of information on the podcasts subreddit. So reddit.com/r/podcasts, I think, TS, plural at the end. I've been chiming in there once or twice a week, answering people's questions and things. I also have a second YouTube channel called The Podcast Professor. So you can look that up on YouTube if you want, with a bunch of videos that answer questions about podcasting and those kinds of things. This is going to be a major thing for me. It's going to be something I work on every week, put out new videos for. So if you're interested in learning more about podcasting, there's a bunch of free resources I've got out there for you. If you are interested in having, you know, actual mentorship and working with us and the other podcasts in our group, we've got 9 podcasts that are part of the Rocket Club now, a lot of Fallout content, then you can sign up for that as well and join us every week. And we talk about things that we can do to improve our podcasts and reach out to a bigger audience and all sorts of stuff. So go check that out. There's info on the robotsradio.net page. And other than that, been streaming some games and playing some stuff, probably going to play some more stuff this weekend. Tonight is our Elder Scrolls Online Guild event. On Friday nights, we're doing that. And on Saturdays, either in the afternoon or the evenings, we've been getting together and playing games. Last week, we played Jackbox Party Pack 7. I think we might do some more Jackbox this weekend as well. So come join us for that. You guys, Jackbox is great because all you have to do is watch the stream and have a browser open and you can play in your browser. So you don't even have to have the game. So super fun, easy to play, easy to join in. As many people as want to play can join in, because once you get past the total number, you can just be in the audience and you still get to vote on stuff. So it's a lot of fun. So come join us for that. All that happens on twitch.tv/robotsradio. And that's what I got going on. Lainey?
Yes?
You good?
Yeah, I'm set up my stream.
All right, you set up your stream. Chat, you guys hang out for a minute. We'll raid Lainey. We'll send you on over to her stream after this is done. And thank you for being here, everyone. Until next week, make sure you're not if you're a synth or not a synth, don't get shot in the head twice. I guess that's the lesson. And if you do, make sure you've got a robot to dig you up and a doc to take care of you. So see you guys later. Bye. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the Grey Maybe of Tamriel.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R, now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.